Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So we were just talking about these TV shows, and there's so many out there. I just want to tell you about one that I just started watching. Maybe you started as well. It's called Paradise. It's on Hulu. Yeah, I have all those streaming networks. Don't ask me why. And, Mike, there's like a plot twist to this. So we started watching the first episode, and I was like, And then I got into it, and I'm going to just give you the gist of this. So there's a guy, Xavier Collins. He's investigating the mysterious death of a president. His name's Cal Bradford. And that's the first plot twist, because you think that's what this is about. And then you realize at the end of the first episode, which is called Wildcat Down, Wildcat is what they call the president.
Is this guy Secret Service?
He is.
Okay.
Reveals that. Have you seen this?
I've seen the promos.
Oh, it's
not. I'm all ears.
No.
Because it looks good.
I saw the first episode. And so at the end of the episode, the first episode, it reveals that the show is actually taking place in a post-apocalyptic setting.
Ah.
But you don't realize it when it starts. So you're kind of like, oh, it looks like a normal neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to give it all away.
So dystopian future, something's gone bad.
Yeah, there's been some massive extinction event.
Okay.
And we don't know what. And then this happens.
Oh, so you sucked me in already.
I'm telling you.
I'm in.
But the cast is really good. And I think do you guys remember This Is Us? I think the director of that did this.
Okay.
Or is doing it. So, which was a huge show, you know, won a bunch of Emmys and all
NBC,
that stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, but I started watching that, and I was just telling Mike, but there's so much stuff out there, man.
Yeah, we were just talking about it during, I was going to say that I forgot to, but since you mentioned it, on Netflix, there's like 5,000 things to watch, as you said all the time. I finally get into the new, because you're saying, what's new about the OJ? Well, there's new news in the OJ documentary world, and the one that's on Netflix, American Manhunt, it's unbelievable. I watched the first episode last night, and some new stuff, things that didn't make it into the court case, which may have you feeling one way or the other, but it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And all the players from the defense team, all the investigators, and it's unbelievable. And even my wife, Becky, who's, you know, she watched all the murder and mayhem, she's like, wow, I didn't know that.
Well, that's what I love.
Right.
I mean, like, who did that series? Oh, you remember, and we talked about it. It was like a six-parter on OJ.
Not the FX
that
one.
Was,
No.
That was a 30 for 30.
That's
Made in America.
Made in America.
Made in America, correct, which was great. This, you get guys we hadn't talked to, Mike. They talked to the defense team. All these guys, and I hadn't, you know, we hadn't seen these guys.
Right.
So they've all obviously aged.
In the first episode, you see where the procedural stuff and the loopholes, which gave Johnny Cochran and his team enough room to drive a truck through.
Correct.
But it doesn't change the facts of what happened, but it is interesting how the process plays out. But you'll get more information than you thought you knew if you are guys of our age who lived through the whole thing as it played out.
Well, they're showing some of that footage, and I'm like, man, this is taking me back. I'm in college. I mean, it was crazy. But I'll say this. The police officer, Mark
Furman,
he's interviewed in this.
Yes.
We've never heard from Mark Furman.
No, he was in Made in America.
No, like what he says,
he says in this
yeah, at least in the previews?
Some new news from Mark Furman.
Like, right. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, why are you holding back? We didn't know this. So, yeah, I can't wait to watch it in depth.
Because I know at the time, and again, you guys got to watch it. If you go, you'll remember some of the players, as Carl said. But I remember friends of my dad's that were homicide detectives that my dad worked with in New York, as the trial played out on TV, at least from a New York East Coast standpoint, they always thought L.A., and again,
soft,
Cowboys.
Mm.
Just not, they missed some basic stuff, and they thought Van Atta and Lang were clowns. And you'll see, as this thing develops, if you hadn't watched it, it really does, it's very enlightening, as Carl said. Whenever I watch something like a documentary, I always want to pick something up, something new.
Absolutely.
So anyway, it's on Netflix if you got it, and it's really, you'll be blown away by the first one.
And you know what else, though? I just saw the previews again, and then I was like, I got to mark this. They show some of the pictures that you hadn't seen either.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that stuff's very disturbing.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Because all these years we heard there was blood on the path and, you know, the dog led the people back to the path. And then they show some of those pictures. And I was like, oh. So, again, it is, we know this. You might know, and if you don't, if you're not old enough, but you know the story. But, yeah, Mike, I can't wait. So, is it three episodes?
I'm not sure how many. I just got into one last night, so I think maybe it's three or four parts. Okay. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it's out there. It's on Netflix, OJ, The American Manhunt.
Mm. All right, guys, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Hey, we're going to get back to your phone calls coming up here in just a little bit, because we started today by just having a conversation with you about your pulse and what you feel about this Falcon football team. Look, the offseason is on for us. It has been since we lost that process of evaluating the staff and then firing Jimmy Lake and now hiring Jeff Ulbrich. Like, the offseason for us has started. And this evaluation stuff is real. But instead of getting into the minutiae of this, because, look, most of you have your opinions on who you think they should keep and who they won't. But where are you on a scale from 1 to 10 on your frustration level with the team? And maybe you feel differently than Mike and I. Maybe you feel differently than your friend or your neighbor who's like, I'm done. Maybe you're like, you know what? This isn't as bad. We just had a guest on in Schwab, right? Frank Schwab came on, and he was like, I was mad about the Penix thing, but now I'm like all behind it. I get it. You guys are in a really good spot. The rest of the NFL is saying that too about that because of the way things played out.
Right.
It wasn't ideal. But we don't have to worry about that going into this offseason, and hopefully, Mike, knock wood, for a very long time.
Right. Look, I spent all summer railing against it, but now here we are. So you turn the page, just like with Ulbrich. You might not like the hire, but here we are. How do you fix it? Okay, you've been handed it. He's evaluating right now. Literally, Jeff is up there at Flower Branch watching tape, talking to the other coaches, and trying to figure out how many of these guys do we have on the roster that can actually be improve? Can you coach them up? Can you put them in a better, I always say, put your players in a place to succeed. How do you help them? So some of that. I just think we need, remember the 15 offseason, going into 16.
What we needed.
We got Alex Mack, and that was all we needed on the offense. That was all we needed because it was a big hole in the middle. We fixed it. But on the defense, we were looking for the same things we were looking for this year. Vic was going into year two.
True.
And then we got those three starters. Remember, pre-draft. It was going linebacker, and then they went safety.
Safety.
It was Keanu Neal, and then Deion Jones came in the second round, and both of these guys, before they started getting banged up, were impact players.
They were. No doubt about it.
And Devondre Campbell was the fourth rounder. And who told us about Devondre Campbell? Chuck Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, completely off the radar for most people. And he went on to become an all-pro with the Green Bay Packers.
And then quit for the 49ers inexplicably.
Which make no sense.
Man.
Either way, we're going to talk to you guys coming up. So stay tuned if you have a thought or two. We'd love to hear from you. 404-726-0929. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. So UGA defensive line coach Trey Scott, first of all, he's really good. Secondly, he says they're looking for their next big dog. Pardon the pun, Mike. He says when it comes to what they're looking for, his next, quote, trench mob member, he makes no bones about it. He wants position versatility as a premium. And guys, what we're talking about are those guys that are playing for the Eagles right now, right? The Jordan Davises of the world, the guys that are big space takers that can flat out play, that help you stop the run and get the push up the middle. And, you know, Mike, he was talking to Dog Nation about this, and he says, the ability to do more than one thing, those are the kind of guys we like. Not everybody has their thing that they're really good at, but you have to be able to do multiple things. And he says the guys that are powerful and strong rather than twitchy and explosive, they value that stuff. It's why Georgia's defensive line, when they won chips, Mike, was so stout. You can talk about the twitchiness and explosiveness all you want. If you don't have those dudes, you're not stopping the run, especially in the SEC, and you're not getting the push.
Now, are we going to get a Georgia Bulldog? Right now, I'm looking at a number of different – this is going to change, guys. It's fluid because of Senior Bowl and obviously the East-West Shrine practices. Then we'll have the combines, pro days, et cetera. But as it stands right now, Mike L. Williams, he grades out anywhere from 9 to 18 which puts us right where we're picking.
Right.
Now, do you feel it, Jalen Walker? See, this is the great debate, which is going to probably drive our conversation through much of this offseason about the proven numbers and the upset. If you missed yesterday's show, a lot of NFL guys are saying, yeah, in the past, like, we were all high. We were excited. We were high on Vic Beasley because he came out of Clemson with double-digit sacks, 30 sacks in his career. And maybe now you're looking for a guy that, well, different scheme, how they're coaching it, how it fits into your thing. It's just going to be, for me and the guys we just spoke with earlier today when we asked our Falcon fans how they feel, when you're about upside, that's why when you and I were talking about Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M.
Yes.
Anytime, see, this is just a trigger for me. Can we just talk about what triggers me? You know, yes, at times, and unproven, and but, I don't want to hear any buts about the upside.
No,
that's
buts.
Why I start to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. But that might be somebody in our crosshairs.
No, no doubt. And look, they'll evaluate, and what they will tell us, and we will soon see, because we will start talking to more and more people about this. And as far as their pro days and all that stuff, it still has to play out. But, Mike, they will tell us, regardless of any of those three guys we talk about that all have first-round grades on them, that this was the best guy for them. And I want the most proven and the most ready-made guy is right. What I want. I don't want I don't want the best fit. We can do away with that stuff. I want the guy that's going to come in here and play immediately. That's what we need. So to your point about, was it 15? You know, we made the joke. Arthur Blank was like, I need three starters.
Well, give me three starters, you nitwits.
Well, we're back to that. We're back to
we are literally right back to that.
Give me some guys that can start right now immediately.
I need three starters. Here's the problem.
What?
No.
What?
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third round pick. No fifth round pick.
We got to get one.
You've got to hit on those starters in round one.
We got to get one.
Round two.
We got to get one.
And round four.
We can acquire a third. We got to go get one.
you're going to have to give to get.
Yeah.
I mean, now again, you can move a future pick. You can, I'll trade you a six and a whatever from next year and this and that and try to get, yes, I get it. Certainly, you can make that happen. And then there's always Falcon fans that hold out that hope. Well, somebody's going to trade us a second rounder for Kirk. No. That is, we've talked to three experts on this, including a draft expert, a capologist, said, no, I'm sorry, a free agency expert who said, no way that's going to happen.
No, it's not.
So you just got to make the most. That's the thing. I will never argue or fault Terry Fontenot for going after Judon. It made sense to us at the time. We just didn't get the pop, man. It's just, we didn't get the juice.
Yeah, sometimes you strike out, bro. I mean, like, that's just what it is. It didn't mean you didn't go up there and give me a good at bat, but you just, you know, sometimes you strike out. That's the way I look at the Judon situation. And if we had to do it over again, I love you. We should have never picked him up. Stop it. You were clamoring for a pass rusher all summer long, and then they go and make the move, and now, because it necessarily didn't pay dividends the way you wanted, we should have never made it. No, you did the right thing. We just struck out.
Now, as we said the other day, can you find a decently priced? Because, I mean, this is going to be like when you play that general manager mode at Madden. You know, like, you can have one from the top shelf, or you can have two from the middle level.
Right.
How are you going to go after free agents? What are free agents you've already in? Because, again, you said it. We've really, as a franchise, on the defensive side, other than Jesse Bates, we've generally had a hard time with free agents. Ray Edwards comes to mind. There's been some other dudes that Justin Simmons this year. Sometimes it just doesn't play. Brooks Reed was okay.
No,
remember Brooks Reed? We talked about that.
The
Super Bowl championship team.
Yeah, he was a contributor.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Super Bowl team.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I wish
appearance. Super
Wishful
Bowl appearance.
Thinking.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. I'm with Trey Scott on this. That's what the Dogs need. That's what they're looking for. Maybe those guys are already in the building. But he said this after the Sugar Bowl media day,
right?
Last month, and so people were talking about the future and what you think you need moving forward, and how do you get back to this spot? And he just laid it out, and I love it. Trench mob.
Right.
Those guys, those big boys down there, man, they're difference makers.
Everybody's still going bananas about what you saw at the Senior Bowl. Everybody's gushing over Marshall University's Mike Green. We're going to talk to our man, Jarvis Davis, tomorrow. Davis, our boy Jarvis, is down there in Mobile.
Yeah.
He'll join us. We're going to be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. He'll call in the 3 o'clock hour to tell you he was literally right there when that guy got put on his keister.
Coming up, Keith Smith. Is it Spotrac? Spot rack.
I used to say spot rack, and then I had guys come out with spot rack. Well, let's find everybody who gets a paycheck from these cats.
All right.
We can settle this damn thing for once and for all.
Spot rack. NBA contributor is going to join us. You say why? Because we need to know what the Hawks are capable of doing when it comes to potentially the financials.
Maybe the accent's on the last syllable. Spot rack.
Keith Smith next. Coming up in 20 minutes, Guy Talk's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. Big O's here. Turtle's here. We're here. Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. Here's the deal. Keith Smith, Sport Rack. Spot Rack.
Let's find out how we pronounce this
NBA
thing.
Contributor. Well, we were talking about this, Keith, and you know, we've heard various pronunciations on this. It is Spot Rack. Tell us, is that correct?
It's Spot Track. So it's like, take the word spot and the word track and mash them all together.
They send you a paycheck. I'm just you wouldn't believe how many times we say Spot Track. And we get some. So thank you, sir. If nothing else in this segment, you have given us valuable information.
No doubt. Keith, thanks for
if I had a dollar every time I got asked that, I probably wouldn't need that paycheck.
Well, thank you. That's good to know. So see, we're not alone. Let's talk about the Hawks here, because with the injury to Jalen Johnson, I think the big question is, what makes sense to try to make a move so that the season just doesn't go downhill, right? I mean, you already kind of feel that way, and so the Hawks have time to maybe make a move. But our question, at least the first one, is what makes sense financially when you start looking at the numbers and you start talking about the guys that they can potentially move, and what might you get, you know, in return?
Yeah, you're not going to get crazy if you're Atlanta. You're you know, I don't think you're going to start trading away a bunch of your younger guys and your key guys. But let's own it. Clint Capella's been available. He's been on the market for a while. You know, they've moved Onyeka Okongwu into the starting group, so it seems like we're starting to pivot away there. So that's one move you could make. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic, reports came out today that he is also somebody that they're gauging interest in. Now, that's a player that is pretty plug and play for just about anybody in the league. Everybody's always looking for some bench scoring help and a guy who can shoot. He's got a pretty movable contract. So I think there's a chance, you know, we could see him you'll get moved here. Because I think what you're doing if you're the Hawks is you're going to look at it and say, all right, we've slid significantly in the standings on this losing streak.
Right.
Jalen Johnson's not coming back. Let's take this opportunity. You don't have to, you know, rip the roster apart, but let's rebalance a little bit here. Let's try to get off some of the long-term money. Let's see if we can get some guys in who make sense for us. Somewhat for the rest of this year, but really for next year and beyond. And let's see what that looks like. And I think that's probably the direction they're going to head in.
There was a story out there earlier today about Yusuf Nurkic from the Suns. Does that make any sense? Or is that just simply swapping some contracts?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense in the idea of the money works. I think that would be one where if I was the Suns, the Hawks rather, I would need to make sure I'm getting off Capella's contract first.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to have a Kongwu, Capella, and Nurkic all on the same roster. But yeah, if I can move Clint Capella in a deal that brings back, you know, maybe a forward, more forward size guy, a little bit of wing help, and then I swap out Bogdanovich for Nurkic. All right, well, now I'll take care of my backup center spot for the rest of this year and next, and we move forward. And I would presume they'd get something extra in that trade as well. And that's an asset you can either use in another trade or use yourself down the line, because the Hawks, I would assume, would love to replenish some of the draft picks, because right, they're still out some picks from previous trades.
Keith Smith from SpotTrack joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about what's going on around the NBA trade deadline approaching. Obviously, the Hawks have some decisions to make, but there are also other news in regards to the NBA. The big one, I think, is Jimmy Butler. And, you know, there's various rumors out there, Keith. I just want to ask you about that, because he has said there's specific teams he won't go to. There are teams that he wants to go to. I don't know if this gets resolved. Does Pat Riley just play hardball and say, fine, we don't do anything? But I don't think that's the answer.
Yeah, that's not going to be what happens here. We're too far gone now with this one, where both sides, they've handled this about as poorly as you can imagine, both the Heat and Jimmy Butler, and that they've basically set it up as if there's not a trade, boy, they really kind of blew this one. So now I think what we're going to be looking at to see here in the next week is who can meet the Heat's ask the best. Miami went into this with very, kind of lofty goals. We want some draft pick compensation. We want win now players, but guys who are on short-term contracts, because we've got all these big cap space plans down the line. Now, as this has dragged out over the last few weeks, they've turned into, all right, let's come off that a little bit. And I always say the trade deadline's a lot of fun, because there's a sliding scale where you have teams are saying, well, we got to have two first-round picks for that guy, and the other team's saying, we'll offer two second-rounders. And then everybody kind of comes to their senses when we get a week or so out, and that deadline is looming, where it is, all right, one first and one second, great, let's go, let's make a move, and off we go. And I think that's where we're getting to now with Jimmy Butler. I do expect him to be traded. Is it to the Suns where he wants to go? They're trying. They're doing what they can to try to make moves to be able to bring him in. I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to pull that off.
Talking about how this whole thing's going to fly with the Hawks and the free agency, I should say, trade deadline coming up before you know it. Keith Smith with us, your guys, from SpotTrack. So about the Kings, there's an important tweak to this for the Hawks fans, because they have we have a pick, but it's unprotected. If they wind up 1 through 12, we don't get it. And if they trade Ke'Aaron Fox to the Spurs, safe to say they're probably going to be down there in that lottery position. How quickly do you think that deal gets consummated to join Wemby?
Yeah, and I'm glad you put it that way, because it seems like that's where this might be headed, is that he does get to San Antonio. I always say, NBA history has taught me over the years that guys, when they want to be somewhere, they're going to get somewhere, right? And that's generally that's how that works. So now, I will say this, though. The Kings have made it very clear in these trade talks over the last couple of days that Fox has been publicly available, that they are not intending to just trade him for the kind of traditional star return of a bunch of young players and cap relief and draft picks. They want guys back who can help them win, because they feel like, hey, we've got guys in place. We've played pretty well under Doug Christie. We want to kind of keep this thing moving. So I'm not going to fully rule out that they fall out completely in the West. It's going to also take, all right, well, where are we at? Is it better for us to lose a handful more games, fall into the 12th spot or lower, because then that is a decision that could be made, you know, post-deadline sometime in probably the beginning part of March. But, yeah, I think there is a chance that Atlanta may still get that pick, because I think, you know, the Kings are really looking at it and saying, man, we're trying not to, you know, bottom us out. We like our talent that we've still got, so let's try to keep this thing moving and try to win.
Keith, there are two players in the NBA that have a no-trade clause. One, I get. His name's LeBron James. The other, I don't. His name's Bradley Beal. Now, he got this in 2022 from the Wizards. But is this causing a problem because there are teams interested, or maybe not, but the Suns want to move on from him, apparently. But this no-trade clause is wreaking havoc in their plans, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's causing problems. Now, what I'll tell you with the Bradley Beal situation, as I've been telling everybody for the last few weeks, is the Suns can find a great deal that they like that brings Jimmy Butler in, and the Heat can love the deal, and Jimmy Butler can love the deal. But if Bradley Beal doesn't like where he's going, there's not going to be a deal, because that is the only way the Suns can make this happen. They're not going to trade Kevin Durant or Devin Booker, because guess what? Jimmy Butler's not going to want to go to Phoenix. So they're going to have to move, you know, Beal in another trade, and Beal has all the power. This is very likely to be, you know, the last time we see, unless it is a, I know this sounds crazy, a LeBron-level guy, but you're going to have to be a true super-duper star in your prime, no-brainer all-star every year before anybody else gets another no-trade clause. And even then, teams are going to pause, because in the NBA, we know it's like, hey, we love you today, but down the line, it could get real tricky. And then you're going to have a player who may be like, hey, I want to be traded, but I don't want to go here, so I'm going to kill every other deal. And it just takes so much of the power away from the team that it's going to be very hard to see another one of these coming together.
Keith Smith, guys, at Keith Smith NBA, if you want to follow him on social media. I know we're talking about the trade deadline, but just real quick, the perception, at least some of the articles have been written already, it's another meh kind of draft. Would you say it's a meh draft, or there's a – because we're probably picking is the usual spot, somewhere in the teens. Is it just another one of these guys you're going to have to wait 3 or 4 years to see happen?
No, absolutely not. I think this is a super – deep draft. You're going to see the top five of this draft right now rivals the top five in any of the drafts we've had in recent memory. Cooper Flagg, you know, looks like he's, you know, a number one prospect out there, and teams love Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey and VJ Edgecombe, and Kasperi Siakoumoudis from Illinois has really come along quite well, and there's a bunch of other guys. This is what the challenge is, it's somewhat top-heavy, but there's going to be good players all the way through the first round. So I think, you know, this is a draft that you're seeing teams kind of position where, hey, if we can have, you know, the extra picks in this draft, we'd love them, because we know we're coming away with, you know, multiple rotation players. You know, and all young players take a little bit of time, but, you know, there's no, like, this is going to be a 3-4 year project, and by the time it's extension time, we still don't know. We're going to know on a lot of these guys, and they're going to be pretty good.
Cool.
The NBA is going to reveal, TNT actually, the NBA All-Star Game reserves tonight. Trae Young's one of them, right?
It's going to be close. I think it's going to be close. I think, you know, there's a good chance he should be there, and I think what it'll ultimately come down to is how do the – when the coaches voted, are they going to give the Cavs three guys? Are they going to give them Darius Garland and Evan Mobley both?
Right.
Is Boston going to get a second guy in Jaylen Brown in there? You know, there's been some talk of a third Nick. I think that's going a little too far myself. I think it's going to be close, and I do wonder if, you know, the fact that the Hawks are in this kind of free fall – when those ballots were due last week, that's when it all kind of started. Were there some people saying, you know, that's you know, kind of tough to get there? I think the guy who was more likely to get voted in was Jalen Johnson. I think he had a real shot at getting in. But, yeah, it's going to be close with Trae Young. I'm very, very curious to see if he lands on the team or not.
Good stuff. Keith, thank you so much for joining us. Spot Track. And we appreciate the correct pronunciation of all of that. Hey, man, look forward to talking with you again. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Hey, by the way, thanks to Chris. I said Keith Fox, De'Aaron Fox from Sacramento, potentially going to San Antonio. And that, again, comes back to us because we'd like to have another pick this year, because I read an article yesterday that said it wasn't. He says it is a good deep draft. You can get some value in the middle round. That's good news for the Hawks.
Keith Smith, guys, joining us there, NBA contributor, Spot Track. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, speaking of the NBA,
Is Adam Silver out of his damn mind? Hey, well, we're talking about that. Cam Newton with a great message to the kids.
Uh-oh.
I'll explain next. Where to play is play. Tomorrow, guys, Twin Peaks and Catasau. Women in lumberjack outfits want to meet you. Well, maybe not you, the other guy. But they'll be out there 2 to 7. We'll be talking with our man, Jarvis Davis, who's going to be down. He's in Mobile right now. He was at practice watching things pop and see who looks good in a Falcon uniform. All part of the shenanigans coming up tomorrow. Hey, real quick, before we get speaking of shenanigans, talk some serious stuff. Obviously, if you didn't see it live on the news last night or you woke up this morning about the tragedy on the Potomac outside of Reagan Airport, unbelievable. And there was a tie to Georgia. Ryan O'Hara, one of the young men on the Blackhawk, Carl, went to Parkview High School. He was a junior ROTC when he was there. So thoughts and prayers to the Parkview family. And the pilot of the airplane has a Georgia tie as well. His name is Sam Lilly. He's from Georgia. So the governor puts a message out there. So that was – and by the way, you know, we watched it. So everybody wants answers. I saw some of the press conference today with the fire department, the mayor, everything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if you ever watch like air disasters on the Smithsonian, you know, you got to wait. Sometimes it takes – days,
years,
weeks,
yeah,
to get, and it's just I know we're in this like get it, you know, give me the information yesterday kind of mode, but it's just kind of crazy because already the tinfoil hat people are out there, you know, the helicopter took off from the CIA. It's like maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but it's just all this stuff. And just it's amazing how things get all this momentum thanks to social media, and then people start losing their minds.
I agree, and you know, these investigations are thorough, and it is a puzzle. Because you're only listening back to the communication, obviously, between the tower and the plane, Mike, and the right. communication between the copter. And so it is a puzzle. But, man, I hope they figure out so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. The irony for me is as we watched that last night, I said, we just landed there.
Right.
Now we were just there for the Army-Navy game. We flew into Reagan, and it was like – and when you're flying in, for those who have never done it, Potomac, you fly right over it, you know, and Mike, they've alluded to this a lot after last night, and, you know, there was no reason to really talk about it, but in the early 80s, there was a plane that crashed into the Potomac River because of icing, and so they were alluding to that
Air
a lot.
Air Florida, yeah.
But this was completely different.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, just to, if you ever, I lived in D.C. for, 2 years, it's just, you see military and helicopters all the time up the Potomac and the Anacostia. That's why I made it so kind of, just kind of hard to wrap your head around what the heck happened. But again, you got to wait for all the information to come out. Meanwhile, into the world of sports, Adam Silver. Now, this is known as a trial balloon. You throw something out there, and you see how people respond to it. Sometimes a story gets leaked to a newspaper, and they put it out there. Hey, the NBA is exploring the idea. And then people like us go, what, are you out of your freaking mind? Now, international basketball, like the Olympics, is 40 minutes. So what? Okay? Don't care. Don't have season tickets for Real Madrid. I had a 10-pack for the Hawks. Reason I bring this up, Adam Silver goes on Dan Patrick's show and floats the idea of changing the game from 12 to 10-minute quarters.
What?
So that would be 2 times 4 is 8. So you just pay it, you know, $2,000 for courtside tickets, and now you get 8 less minutes of action. Are you out of your freaking? We're already in an NBA where we got to pay dudes to do their job in the month of December to get some juice to go against the NFL, and now you're going to shorten the game by 8 minutes? Get the blank out of here.
Last night, John Fricke brought this story up to me while he was doing the night show last night. And Fricke wanted to suggest some new rule changes. One of his rule changes was, and I'm not kidding, uncurve the three-point line and make it straight. I love John Fricke to death, but uncurve the three-point line and just make it one straight line all the way across.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Or, I mean, well, why don't we stop there? Like, you're Bob Rathbun. And here comes Trey up to the three-point trapezoid. He lets it rip.
It's silly. That is the silliest thing. John, you know what? What is he? Sometimes I think he just sits around and goes, I think that's a good idea.
I would go with an isosceles triangle.
It's not. That's not a good idea.
A straight line across.
So there'd be a line. So it just so inside half court, but outside of the top of the arc.
One line all the way down.
No more arc. Top of the star, the jump ball line at the free throw line. That's our boy Fricky.
Mike, I'll say this, and I don't know if it's going to happen. I heard him say, maybe we've got it. The commish talking about this. Shorter games, less load management.
Oh, stop it.
And a better TV product because it's 2 hours. And so this is the thinking. I'm not telling you I'm for it, but this is the thinking. So, hey, now we have a two-hour window. We get our games in and out because you get 10-minute quarters, 40 minutes, blah, blah. Maybe this is something that they'll look
at. Again, then the players are going to do the math, take 8 minutes less loot. Good luck with that. I would just think that as there's two sports, that there's some parallels until you get into the playoffs, perhaps. If you love motorsports, you'll watch a full race. I've always said NASCAR races need to be 2.5 hours. Formula One, to your point, the two-hour window with F1 is perfect. Every lap matters. There's no fluff. Everything counts. But in NASCAR, I'm sorry, unless I'm in Talladega where they're going faster or Daytona, I'm not going to sit there and watch guys go left for like 500 miles. It just takes forever.
It does.
You know, and so then the NASCAR, you get to the final few minutes, green, white checker, eventually you get to an end. NBA regular season, sometimes all you need is the last 2 or 3 minutes. You're going to see some timeouts. Mm-hmm. You get there. But I just felt that 48 minutes of entertainment is a good product. I don't think you need to shorten it. I don't think anybody, as an American fan, gives a flip about what the international games rules are.
Well, he mentioned that too. Yeah, you're right.
I just think, it's that's interesting. I will say this. If you have a jump shot or you're tall, you definitely want to play in the NBA because you think baseball players got juice? The commissioner, the other thing that the commissioner doesn't do, Carl, is wipe down the players with a towel
when
they come off the floor.
Come on.
Adam Silver, oh my God. Tail wagging the dog. Hey, man, on to another story. Now, we like Cam Newton. We've always defended Cam Newton's right to say whatever he wants. It's a free friggin' country. He can wear his hats. If he wants to look like the Mad Hatter, knock yourself out. But this one that he dropped on ESPN really sent a lot of people for a loop.
The forgotten Cam, live to die.
Stephen A. talking to Cam today, and he puts us out there, and he says, Cam, if you could give back that league MVP for a Super Bowl championship, would you do it? Cam, no.
Mm.
So you're defined, and we've always talked about individual season records, MVPs. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, most of us follow football. It's the trophy. The ring is the thing. The ring separates you. But would you give up the MVP? You think Matt Ryan would give up that MVP for a Super Bowl ring? I'd say affirmative.
Yeah, I think
we'll
so
ask
too.
Him next time we talk to him.
I think so too.
I love Cam. Some would say, hey, I love his honesty. But I mean, my God, the ultimate team sport, that to me was like, are you kidding me? Are you just trying to make headlines, bro? Mission accomplished.
Well, he probably said after that, Mike, nobody scored 45 touchdowns that year. I earned it. So I'm not giving it back. I know you are.
I get it. But I mean, look, Cam, as much as we'll debate whether it should be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or whoever, the only thing I'm going to remember from this season is who's hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. I mean, and I just – football is so much different than other sports. Baseball, the individual accolades are one thing. Me as a fan – but for Cam, I can't believe he said that. I got to be honest.
MVP is different. I mean, if I asked you who won a Triple Crown, you wouldn't know, right? The MVP is different. I think most football fans, and listen, you still have to be pretty hardcore to say I know who the 1996 MVP was. But the fact is, at least we have a sense of that in the National Football League. I probably could go back 4 or 5 years and you go, oh, yeah, I know who won the MVP. But, Mike, to your point – like
football is the end. It's the result.
It is the team. It is the team thing. I'm with you. Mm. I'm with you.
I mean, like, okay, real quick, Chris Oren, the year we won the World Series, who was the NL MVP?
2021.
Yeah.
Was it Eddie?
Bryce Harper.
Oh.
See, who cares? All right, man, moving on.
I thought you said NLCS.
Just like the National League MVP. See, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Because he didn't win the World Series.
Well, that wasn't his team, though.
Who cares? You made my point. Chris Turtle just made my argument for me. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, a developing story.
What's going on?
So, you might have seen the headline, Justin Tucker, and we talked about it earlier, apparently implicated by some masseuses. Is that the plural of masseuse? Or is it masseusoir? Masseuse. Anyway, a lot of women.
Masseuses
that were doing the masseusing thing in the Charm City. And they allege that Justin Tucker gets his freak on when he's getting a massage.
Get your freak on.
The thing is, and the difference between the Deshaun Watson case and this, first off, it's the chronology. This predates the Deshaun Watson case.
So he was doing this before D. Watson was?
Alleged victims allege that him getting frisky or at least doing things you shouldn't be doing in a professional massage session occurred between 2012 and 2016. Now, Justin Tucker released Justin Tucker released a statement saying he's never done anything. He's obviously, his name has been besmirched. Interesting factoid, the New York Post brings up in an article that just dropped, no one ever filed a police report. So I don't know if somebody
and why the timing on this. You'd think if you were going to go after Justin Tucker, you do it on the heels of the notoriety of the Deshaun Watson case when it was all making news the last couple of years.
But let's go back, because timing matters. That was way before Me Too.
Correct.
So when you start talking about nobody filing charges, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. But to your point, Mike,
But they didn't go. I mean, look.
But people were less, especially women, were less, they were apprehensive to do that. Mm. And I think Me Too, right? We talk about this. You go one way or the other, and then sometimes it goes too far the other way. I think that opened the door for a lot of things, including Deshaun Watson's case, where everybody out of the woodwork came out.
But
you
again,
know?
I mean, the Harvey Weinstein is kind of like the sort of the pinnacle of the Me Too, and that's 2017.
Correct.
That's within 12 months of the alleged misconduct. So I just look, as you like to say, there's always three sides to every story. I'm just curious because if you feel something, if a guy is exposing himself to you, you call the police. You can file a charge, and then you could have even more juice in a civil suit, potentially.
Yeah. Look, I've always said this, and if any woman out there is in a situation where this kind of stuff is going on, you would hope that she would have the courage to do it.
Mm.
Mike, here's the deal. It's Justin Tucker. Again, it's like Deshaun Watson. He's an NFL quarterback. Right. This guy's one of, if not the best kickers in the NFL.
And he is a pillar in the community, for what it's worth,
and
no pun intended.
And it's him and I. It's just us. So, you know, there is this fear that happens where, all right, I'm going to come out and do this. Do I really want to? And it's unfortunate. But I think you start talking about 2012. Nobody was talking about that. 2017, that's five years later.
But again, but now it's also 12 years after the alleged event.
I know.
So I'm just going to say, you always say we don't rush to judgment when it comes to Georgia wide receivers. I don't think we should rush to judgment with a Baltimore kicker.
So there's been some sleuthing going on the internet today, especially on Twitter. And several tweets that were sent in 2021 have been unearthed about Justin Tucker saying that, oh, yeah, by the way, Justin Tucker has been banned from several spas and salons in the Baltimore area. So the story happened in 2012 to 2016. It's coming out now about that. But a few years ago, it was, you know, kind of in, I guess, back channels and stuff like that Justin Tucker had been banned from certain places.
Mike, I mean, it's, well, you know, you okay. Don't ever come back.
Roll over, sir. We're going to do your chest. Ah! That would generally be where that would go. And by the way, the other part of the civil suit is you put these together. I believe it's one law firm is involved with this. Either way, whoever is, then you, if the Ravens have knowledge, then the lawsuit amplifies and it just expands, and now you got more money and more commas in that check if they were aware of that situation. All right, let's end on a positive
note. Let's do it, Mike.
All right, we all love Popeye's fried chicken.
Who doesn't?
I know I do. We just hate sitting there in the drive-thru about 2 hours. Although, where I live in Peachtree City, lickety split.
It's fast?
Right around the corner, but it ain't
fast on 92.
I can tell you this. On the south side, I'm in and out, man.
Really?
Yeah. I barely have time to take a picture of Ike ordering.
You just got
to
get your mind right when you get in line. That's what I do.
That's true. Well, guess what? Listen to this. Popeye's Chicken and Don Julio.
Don Julio!
Have come together to celebrate the upcoming Super Bowl in New Orleans with some new menu items. They're going to have fast food chicken, limited edition menu items to combine Louisiana cooking style with the bold flavors of tequila, Don Julio Reposado. According to the press release, yes, you've got to be 21 or over to purchase the Cancha Chicken Sandwich, which will be a chicken breast marinated in Reposado tequila, fried in their regular crunchy buttermilk breading, and topped with a tequila lime slaw.
Very nice.
Now, I don't know if that's going to be out here in Atlanta.
Will it get you tipsy?
These items will be available, unfortunately, in New Orleans, in Philadelphia, Kansas City.
Keep going. Keep going.
New York City, Miami.
And?
No, not us. No, it's New York City, Miami, New Orleans, Philly, Kansas City. If ever there's a town that would embrace Don Julio on fried chicken, it's friggin' Atlanta. I think I speak for all of our audience right now. So let's get on the horn to Popeye's and say, what's the dealio? Let's bring us to that tequila up here to Atlanta.
Yeah, look, you had me when you said Don Julio. I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. And now you're telling me you tease me. Yes. I can't get it here.
Only available in select Popeye's locations within six different cities. New York City, Miami, New Orleans, and Philadelphia and Kansas. That's five towns. There's got to be another one, isn't
there? I'm so disappointed right now.
I just did the math on that, Horn. Anyway, we'll keep this up to speed, but maybe, we can. You know what? If we wish hard enough, perhaps we can get some of that chicken here in Atlanta.
Oh. Want to combine chicken tequila, though, man? Is that set?
Who cares? Let's try it.
Yeah, I would try it, definitely. And when they said you had to be 21 or older, it must mean you might get a little something to it.
Now, generally, I drink the tequila, then I suck it. I soak up the booze with the fried chicken the next morning for the hangover.
Just take, like, the chicken skin and just dip it in the tequila and try it that way.
Well, if you're drunk enough, you do that.
Probably.
Hey, coming up, we want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. We're taking the pulse. On a scale of 1 to 10, how frustrated are you with our Falcons? If you're not, we want to know why. If you are, we want to know why. But maybe you don't agree with where we're at right now. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell.